The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we will be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
Gee, when that announcement feels a whole lot like they keep rubbing it in. But, hey, listen, folks, there ain't no quit on us. No quit at all! And so there you go. And we're going to just go right at them. And so, back in the back room back there, where we keep them, hoping that the phone lines light up enough so they can get the door open and use the bathroom when they have to. Tonight, especially because they're with Randy and Eric, is Ron and Barb. Barb is the only lady back there with those rascals. Anyhow, they're looking at these phone lines, just staring at them at 888-281-1110, hoping those lines will light up. They're working so hard. They want to stay on the air. 888-677-9673. They're hoping folks out there tonight will say, you know what, I haven't, you know, ever given before. And, or those ones that had, well, I can't take it with me. Let's help them keep getting the truth out. And I'll open up their wallets and help us out. And so, in between here and there, we have where the producers are at. And none other than an up-and-rising radio star, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
He's at the helm. Here in the studio, she stutters and flutters and, her shadow, my shadow, weighs less than she does. No, it doesn't. No, she weighs less than my shadow, right? Did we get that right? She's confused. It's the 20th day of January, huh?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. So.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay. Get back there and get on that phone. Go on, go on, go on. There you go. We got her going now. He's been sitting there waiting patiently for his introduction. He's a patriot, a Christian, a pro-life advocate, a man of great stature, and a statesman. None other than Big John McTurnan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. Thank you for those accolades, and God bless you and all our listeners.
Well,
how many of those accolades do you believe?
No, I've known you for a long time. You fit right into all those things. Listen.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. I'm going to tell you, you're a man of stature, and I'm going to tell you it's an awesome responsibility that I have to be your hero.
It is.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy.
You've let me down many times, but
it's
okay.
All right. We've got you. No. You know what? I wanted to just say something here because we get stacks of letters every day, John. And one of them, you know, because of that commercial, we pray over them. We get these letters and we have prayer requests. And this is Miss Lorraine Mix. Miss Lorraine Mix out there in Portland, Oregon, if you're listening to us tonight, I want you to know that we got your letter. You asked us to pray for Eric Hrischke. He's a state legislator there in Oregon. And I guess he's her cousin. And she's asked that we pray for him because to be able to help bring some kind of insanity back to that state of Oregon. Anyhow, where the liberals are in charge. And she says she's so sad that the liberals are in charge out there. But anyhow, she said, I'm sending a donation order to continue hearing you and receiving your mail. Well, Lorraine, we'll keep sending you that newsletter, and I'm hoping you can hear us on the internet. And there's many other ways of hearing us other than just the radio. And if you can go to our website, wrwl.org, you can find out those other ways of listening to us out there. And I'm hoping we can stay on the radio, but that's in the Lord's hands. We've done all that we can do on those six states. And so McTernan, I think, might be a multimillionaire, but he's keeping it to himself. So we'll.
Well, you're right, Pastor Ernie. I'm a multimillionaire. My treasures are all in heaven, Pastor Ernie.
Amen. Okay. All right. John, let's go. Do you know what today is? Today is the 20th of January. Do you know what Sunday is?
22nd.
What happened 50 years ago come Sunday?
That was the first, that was Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, it sure was. I'm going to be preaching on pro-life this, in fact, you know, that recent vote there on the Born Alive Survivors Act, I couldn't believe it, 210 Democrats. I've never seen our country be reduced to such wickedness. I mean, such extreme wickedness. Only one Democrat voted in favor of life. 210 of them voted for death. That's an evil that I never thought I would see, that kind of evil in America. Did you?
No. I mean, what I'm seeing now, in theory, well, that could happen, but not in reality that I think it would. It's so shocking, Pastor.
It's absolutely shocking. Where did you lock us out on a new day? Are these new people, Craig? He's not listening to us. He's got to turn off. He doesn't see. Okay, so those are all today. Let me see. I didn't see it there. Okay. We have Janet. Oh, there. Now I see it. Yeah, Janet in Bronx, New York pledges 30. Valerie in New Jersey pledges 350. And Ryan in Michigan pledges another 50. And, well, thank you very, very much. And so, phone lines are open at 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. This is our last night of the pledge week, and we really have to finish strong. So, John, would you start over in Leviticus chapter 20 and read me verses 1 through 8. That's
okay,
Leviticus 20, yeah.
Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he surely shall be put to death, and the people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among the people, because he hath given his seed unto Moloch, to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people.
Through verse 8.
Yeah, okay. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off among the people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them, and I am the Lord which sanctifieth you.
Now, John, the Ammonites at that time, they were Israel's one. Well, actually, they were Israel's one of its closest neighbors, and they offered child sacrifice to Moloch, their god. They believed a couple of things. They believed that that was the greatest gift that they could give their evil god. To appease his anger against them. And they also believed that that when they did that, when they sacrificed their children, as he loved to hear the screams and how he was pleased by the pain that the children, that in return they would have their sexual pleasures enhanced, that the more pain that their children felt, the more greater pleasure they would feel in their sexual, their adultery and whoredom. And so, let me ask you something here. Is God immutable? Is he the same today, tomorrow, forever and ever?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this. Is there really any difference in sacrificing your children to Moloch or sacrificing your children today to the god of society or their convenience, if you will? But the wickedness is like in the University of Pittsburgh there, where these women were carrying their babies to full term and then giving them to them to experiment on, to use for body parts. Can you get any more evil than that?
Really no, Pastor Ernie. I mean, death is death. And the pagans were doing it to Moloch for, like you said, to get some pleasure and some advantage. And today, they kill the babies most of the time for that same reason, some advantage, education or income. And you just said, I wonder how much the women got paid to. I mean, it's just incredible.
Oh, they got a lot. They get a lot of money for a whole baby.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did, Pastor Ernie.
You're talking a couple thousand bucks.
They were getting what their blessing for killing the baby, so to speak, was all the money.
Yeah.
The other pagans were.
I believe I was told one time. If I remember, it was as much as $10,000 for a whole baby, no, live, healthy baby. And the wickedness is extreme out there today. You know, you have this wicked woman, Janet Yellen, okay, from the Treasurer. I remember, I think she's what, Treasury Secretary, isn't she? Janet Yellen?
No, is she ahead of the Federal Reserve?
Or is it the Fed, okay. I don't know, but I heard her talking about how abortion was good for the economy, and she was saying to these women that were working these for these big companies, if you're pregnant, get rid of it. In other words, kill the baby and get to work. And then Chelsea Clinton said abortion's good for the economy. We need as much of it as we can get. I mean, this is evil. Of course, Obama said those things were never meant to live. They should be put on a shelf and left to die. And then Biden says me, right to my face, he tells me that not everybody's pro-life. And I told him, I said, God is. And I told him, as far as I'm concerned, you're pro-life or you're low-life. And he was gone. That was back when he was senator at the Russell Building. And so, anyhow.
Well, Pastor Ernie, you were talking about Moloch and the pagan rites.
Mm-hmm.
How far off? Well, let me back up. When I watched the protest in front of the Supreme Court about abortion, and I saw the woke people, mostly women, but they were woke, I mean, screaming and carrying on and wild, like hair and their looks and all. I mean, how far away or how far off are they from becoming pagans?
Well, they're there. I mean, it's not that they're far away from it, but
they're there.
All
they need is to go over to some religion that's promoting idolatry and all, and there you go. They're like backing into becoming pagans.
Well, there's a lot of demonic possession with those people. I remember going out and we had one of our Operation Rescues, and they came out there, these women, they came out and they were topless. They came topless and they were screaming like banshees. And the idea was they had their people there and they would press up against you. They tried to pick out the pastors, if they could find the pastors. And they would press up against you with their bare breasts. And then when you pushed them away, then they would get pictures of that and try to. And see, now these women are so blatant, it's like, well, you know, I just happened to be out there at the protest, and I just happened to be topless that day. These gals aren't real smart either, okay? But when they would do that, they would have people there taking pictures of you. Also, like, I instructed our people when we went out to the abortion mills, and we would be out there protesting, if one of these women came out and walked up and pretended like she was going to faint and got real faint, pretended like she was going to pass out, if she was to fall, do not catch her, because what they did in the past, they would come up talking to our women, and then they would pretend to faint, and when they would catch her, they'd have somebody there with a camera, and she'd be screaming, leave me alone, turn me loose, okay? They're wicked to the core. Now, again, when you had that 210 Democrats, could you ever believe that we would get to the point in this country where the entire Democratic Party would have become basically, they're Satanists. They're basically Satan worshipers, because that's what Moloch is. Moloch was Satan. And so they're God Satan. And so,
Well, it had to be close, Pastor. And, you know, I don't know how many years ago, 5, 8 years, maybe 10 years, you could see it coming with the Democrat Party. Which convention was it that they wanted the God out of the Democrat Party? Remember
that? Ernie? That was the, I believe it was the, now they 2012. That was 2012.
Okay. But it was the convention before that where they took him out, but whoever was the candidate put him back in. And then the next convention, they removed God, anything of God, and which I think is best for them, because then that's who they really are. I mean, there's no veneer over them.
Now, if you remember when they did that, they took a voice vote. And I remember listening to it when he said, how many want to to kick God out of the party, to remove God, they said, out of the party. And the voice vote was far, those that wanted to remove God, far louder than those that didn't. There were some that didn't want to remove God, but he didn't. He couldn't do that because it wasn't ready. In other words, he didn't have permission from the head of the collective at that point to say, okay, now we're officially removing God from the party. But God left that party long, long ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, and Pastor Ernie, since we're talking about pro-life and the 22nd is on Sunday, I just wanted to make a couple comments. I always preached the gospel at the abortion centers, and I gave them the truth, and I talked to them about hell, but I gave them, as you say, hell hot and heaven sweet. That's what I did, and there were on a number of occasions, several occasions, when outright demons manifested. I remember one guy was a doctor that came at York, and he, when I quoted scripture, he would choke, and his eyes would start fluttering, and he'd run from me. He actually would start guttural sounds when he heard the word of God.
Well, I ran into several. Well, we had several demon-possessed people out there on the streets when we were out there at the abortion mills. And on several occasions, yeah, foaming at the mouth and everything.
Well, I hadn't seen Fulman. I saw that most of them, they would shake uncontrollably, like jelly. They would choke. Their eyes would flutter, and they would get as far away from his as they could. And I just was quoting scriptures. The other thing, Pastor Ernie, and in my walk with the Lord all these years now, I can say that probably one of the most important things I ever did was commit to pro-life, to make a stand, and like I said, preach the word at the abortion centers, stand against the police, stand against the district attorney, stand against the county commissioners, the judges. I mean, you're either going to get run off, Pastor Ernie, or you're going to stand. And so I stood, and the Lord always backed me up, always.
Oh, me too.
I know. I'm speaking like for you also, but I would not be what I am now with the Lord if it wasn't for the pro-life stand.
I've been arrested many times out there for simply preaching, and they made false accusations against me, all kinds of false accusations. But then we always won. We always beat them in court, and then pretty soon, the cops got to where they didn't want anything to do with trying to arrest us out there. And, you know, we had to go against the corrupt cops, too. I mean, it was, you know what? I think we should let people know some of the things that have happened over the years. But let me go back to the scripture first. But first, I want to say Anonymous pledges in the Bronx pledges 100. Felicia in New York pledges 100. Eva in Tampa pledges 50. Donna in Cleveland pledges 400. Arlene in Chicago pledges 75. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Let's go back to look at this because people should realize something. Remember, I've had people say to me, personally, I would never have an abortion. Personally, I would never do that. But I'm not going to judge or condemn people to do. Here's what the Bible says. Ready? It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. But the people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man and cut him off from among the people, because he hath given his seed to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And, listen, here you go, and if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man which giveth his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and will go a-whoring, and after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among the people. Now, one time I had a pastor actually say, right on the air, as long as abortion's legal, I won't. You're not going to see me protesting it because we have to obey the government. I can tell you what I said to him. First of all, I told him, I don't think I'll ever find you doing anything that it takes any courage or honor because you don't have it. And I said, God's word, the Bible, is very clear. Peter said we must obey God rather than man. And then I asked him if he'd ever heard about the prison epistles. And he said, of course I have. And I said, why do you think they're called prison epistles? And he said, because they were written from prison. I said, oh, okay, do you think the apostles were in prison for obeying God or the government? And his response was, that's a good point. I never thought of that. And he said, I might have to rethink my position. There you go. But now, what did I just read here? Did God not just say here that those people that turned a blind eye away from it and a deaf ear, he holds them just as responsible for the murder of the children as those that are killing the children?
Well, yeah, Pastor Ernie. I mean, how can you turn your back with murder? I mean, what does it take? I mean, a little bit of effort, donating money, voting, going out and maybe pray once a month or at the abortion center. That's showing that you really think what it is and you're going to take a stand.
Well, you know, again, I want to praise the good Lord for those people that did have the backbone and the courage over the years to go out and take a stand out there. I preached in front of those bloody abortion mills for 45 years, and you did the same. And I remember one day, too, when you came out there with me when you were here in Cleveland, and we went down to the bloody preterm. By the way, we had 5 regular abortion mills. We're down to just 1 now, preterm. It's the biggest one in Ohio, and we knocked the rest out. It took us time, but we knocked them out. Now, here...
Oh, come on, Pastor. Keep your thought. You took me into a church there that used to be an abortion center.
Yeah. Yeah, we knocked them out of there.
Yeah, that became a church.
Yep. And so here, one time you were down there, and it was kind of a strange thing because there was a group of people, older people, and they were standing there, and you walked into them, and you started preaching pro-life to them.
Oh, yeah.
And they were totally confused. And I looked at them, it was like they didn't know what to say. They couldn't say anything. They just stood there, and they just looked at each other. And there was, 6, 7, 8 of them? And they were totally...
I think more than that. It was right at the corner. There was
yeah.
10 or 12, and they asked me to leave, and I said no.
And when I got there, I saw you. So when I walked over there, I just stood there and watched, and you preached, and they just looked. They had the strangest looks on their face to say... It was really something. John, we got to go to a break. Hang tight, folks. We'll be back right after.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been
right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Oh, I'd buy him everything. But now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same? Or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? Daddy, did I have to die?
All righty, we're back. John in New York pledges Ted, and Karen in Calumet City Limits pledges 30. Phone lines are now open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, we have joining us tonight former County Commissioner Skip Walter Claypool, and Skip was leading up the venture downtown, where we went today to join the OWACA meeting. Now, it's an interesting thing because they had such a play on words. They must have been learning from the fake news media out there. But see, we went down there, folks, and as opponents, but they referred to us as attendees. We were there as opposition. We were there as opposition, and they referred to us as advocates or supporters. I don't think those words mean the same at all. What do you think, Skip?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit confused. They're confused at who's in control. They forget that we elected them to look out for us, and they look down on us. They're truly elitist in their thinking. And it's really what our founders warned us about, and the reason that you elect moral and religious people, because you need people of certain character and values, and it's clear they don't have those values.
Well, it seemed to me they were taking quite a few liberties with the truth, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. They have a public comment period, and we had 100 members of the public there, and they didn't want anybody to speak because they didn't like what we were going to say. If we were on their side, I can guarantee you every one of us would have gotten a chance to speak. But because we opposed their thinking, we don't like the fact that they want to put in totalitarian activity or action. They're creating a climate action plan based on fictitious science. and they want to take away our liberties, you know, decide which car you're going to use, take away your gas stove, you know, basically destroy the fabric of our great nation. And they just expect us to sit there and say nothing about that.
Let me explain to John McTurnan about NOAACA. John, NOAACA is Ohio's version here of Agenda 2030. Very sinister.
Yes.
Yeah, they're very, very sinister. They work in the shadows. These are people that pressure, that will lobby or bribe politicians to basically, that's what Skip says, that they want to take our property, they want to take our freedoms away. These people are communist, but they do it in a kind of a shady, slippery manner. And, you know, the people showed up down there just like what happened over a couple weeks ago when the people had enough. Then the Middlefield Library there were 60-something people, and only one of them turned out to support the NOAACA. All of the rest were, in fact, they were holding signs, get out of our county, leave our county, we don't want you here. Now, Skip, if they have any kind of jurisdiction at all, that jurisdiction, is it anything other than the highways and bridges?
That's true. Their charter is infrastructure, basically roads and bridges. And it's only federalized roads and bridges. So keep in mind that 99% of all the roads and bridges in all of our cities and our townships are funded by our local levies. So the only back through NOAACA is for federalized roads, so the interstate, basically, or the connecting arteries. So like right 306 and Route 615 are federalized roads because they connect to the federal highway system. So the road dollars we're talking about are only road dollars that are for federalized roads, these main arteries. They talked about the Washington Street in Geauga County today, and that's an artery that connects to 422, and so they can designate that as a federalized road. But it's just really a limited amount of jurisdiction that they have, and yet they will maximize the control over their using that jurisdiction.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because maybe they're confused, because I didn't consider Lake Erie as a part of the infrastructure, but they were asking what we would have NOAACA do about Lake Erie.
That's part of their outreach, of their overreach. They want to get into land use planning, and Biden is reinstituting, by the way, everybody needs to look out for this, the rules that Obama did, in which they want to come in and destroy local zoning and all that kind of stuff and force us to have affordable housing and all these other nonsense, smart growth. But NOAACA's really overreaching and trying to get into economic development and climate change and stuff that just is not within their responsibility. And that's the objection that many of us have. But that's typical of these bureaucratic tyrannies, tyrants.
Now, we don't really need NOAACA. Don't we have a Department of Highways? So why do we need them? We don't need them.
We do not need NOAACA at all. Fact is, I deem them unconstitutional. If you think about it, there's the 10th Amendment in the U.S. Constitution says that only certain things, they're called enumerated things, are within the federal purview. I'm pretty confident that doing roads and bridges in our state is not within the federal purview. But we let them get away with it. Our elected officials with no spine, no knowledge of the Constitution, they say an oath to uphold and defend, let them get away with it. If we let them get away with it, that's the reason people were downtown. We don't want them to get away with it. We're done. We're tired of it.
Well, the people that were downtown are people that are aware of what's happening. They kind of have their eyes open and their ears open. And in fact, I remember when they asked at the meeting, they give you a questionnaire and they put it up on the screen. It says, what would you have NOAACA to do about Lake Erie? And the vast majority of people said, jump into it, okay? Just jump into it. Get out and go. Leave us alone. And again, all the placards. Now, I think we had five counties represented there today, did we not?
We had five counties there today, people from five counties. And that's the first time ever that we've managed to coalesce five different counties. And all of us were on the same page. The people that were there today, there were over 100 people there today. Of the people that were there today, that's a small number from each county. So a lot of people work on a Friday morning, and they're not able to get downtown. And so, you know, we had a small representative sample, and we still had over 100 people from all five counties. By the way, I want to make a point, Pastor, to your audience, because I know you have a national audience that goes across the United States. You have quite a bit of reach on your channel. NOACA, that we always talk about here in the Cleveland area, is an MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, that's federally mandated for communities over 50,000 people. When you're talking about your 18.5 cents gas tax, bringing it back to your communities, the MPOs all have similar problems. So across the nation, there needs to be a movement, in my opinion. I don't know how we get it started, to eliminate this MPO. You hit it at the nail on the head, Pastor. We do not need them. Our county engineers design all of our roads. NOACA designs nothing. Nothing. All they do is divvy up the money. They're just the corrupt drug dealer that the county engineers have gone to, and they go on their knees begging for the money back that is our money. It's a sin what they do.
Well, I noticed one of the way they did it, they gave awards. They give these awards today to the Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic is kind of flush with cash, isn't it?
It is.
And well, you know, and then they borrowed a practice from United Way. That's what United Way used to do, to get these big corporations to pressure their employees to support United Way, to donate. They would give the CEOs of those big corporations these big awards, banquet dinners, and honor, and then they would pressure their employees. But United Way, Case Western University, for bicycles, the University Circle, INC for bicycles, the Metro Health Century Cycles, all of these things they were giving. Now, when you had mentioned about what kind of a car we could drive, they actually don't want us to drive any cars, do they?
No, they would prefer for everybody to take transit or to ride a bicycle. They really, and they've stated this out loud, believe it or not, they don't want people in the car. They want to be able to create a community that you have to walk to work in, so the people that are living in these small neighborhoods where you've got walked in. This is part of the ICLEI plan. They've been a partner. I referenced this today in my talk to them, and they tried to shut me down. The minute I brought up ICLEI, the pastor, you notice, they didn't want me to talk about it. So they immediately said my time ran out. But ICLEI is a Marxist organization out of Germany, and their whole premise is something called smart growth. I'm going to be talking tomorrow morning in Stark County about Agenda 21, which is now Agenda 2030. And smart growth is part of that whole global plan they're trying to foist on people, where they have these things called walkable communities. They don't want people living on five-acre minimums like we have here in Chesterland, or on property and farm it and all that kind of stuff.
Hold on a minute, Skip. I've got to give the phone numbers out. This is our pledge week. And so, folks out there, the lines are open. The folks are sitting there. They're looking. They're watching. They're hoping those little lights will light up. So you got to help them. 888-67.
On the air. Everybody needs to pledge. Because
yeah.
What he does, miracle work.
888-677-9673 nationwide, or 888-281-1110. Especially if you have credit cards, they're waiting to hear from you. And we want to say that we want to thank Evelyn in the Villages in Florida, $30. Thank you, Evelyn. Go ahead, Skip. Take it back to where you were. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. So, on another note, if you can hear me in the Cleveland area, if you're from Medina County or Lorain County or Lake County or Geauga County or Cuyahoga County, you need to reach out to your local county commissioners and tell them you need, as a commissioner, you need to get the NOAACA staff, the team, back under control because they are out of control. They cater to no one, and they lead the commissioners and all everybody around by the nose. It's time for our elected officials who are on that board to grow a spine and stop allowing NOAACA to go off and out of their off their reservation, not do roads and bridges anymore. This climate change thing has got to stop.
Well, they're like bloodsuckers. They're sucking the life's blood out of people, and people don't know it. These people, they don't do anything, any work, any... And anything to the living of the people there. Now, some of the things they want, for example, I've been to your house. You have a nice house. It's a single dwelling house. I have a nice house. John does. And, you know, we like to have a home with just our families there. But they don't want that. They don't want to allow any single dwelling. They've decided that not for you, only for the elite to have a single dwelling homes, but not for the rest of us. But people don't know that. The vast majority of people out there, even listening to us tonight, they're clueless about what is really taking place. This is why we're trying to tell them. But little by little, when you talked about county commissioners, they're in there and they're going to go. They're going to lobby them. They're going to do whatever they pressure or even bribe, whatever they have to do, they will do. And they're like bloodsuckers. They're taking the very life money out of, you know, they take it away from the highway, the where it's supposed to be going to highway. We get higher gas taxes. They're just draining the finances off. And these people, again, they're like parasites draining a healthy body, right?
What? You saw the mechanisms that they use today. You touched on it, Pastor. You're absolutely right. They used our tax dollars to bribe all these various organizations, to give away all these awards, to make them feel good and make them want to support them and come back. They've got the press in their pocket. So the plain dealer, which is corrupt and, you know, the plain dealer can't even write a decent story anymore, and NPR, IdeaStream, all these various liberal fake news organizations, you know, pump them up and just create puff stories about them and how great they are. And they're doing all these great things and everything. They're not doing great things. Our county engineers, we would have far better roads and a better infrastructure system if you got NOAACA out of there. They direct money into nonsense projects like this climate action plan. You know, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars or $100,000 are spending on this stupid thing, millions of dollars probably, but it is targeting our liberty. They will it'll end up creating mandates on how we live. So our own tax dollars being used against us. We got to stop this. It's ridiculous.
Well, one of the things they got, of course, they got caught lying again, but, I noticed how they kept saying, well, we're working with this county engineer and we're working with this county engineer. But I got a feeling they're doing exactly to them what they were doing to us, pretending, making it sound like we were cooperating with them when we're there as the opposition, not there in it, you know, advocates, but so... They turn that around, and they're not really very truthful about what they do, are they?
No. You know, I found it disgusting, actually. Being from Geauga County, and our county engineer, the representative for Tim Lennon, was sitting at the table. And because NOAACA, they didn't provide any, they didn't give any money. It was actually Rob Portman and our state senators and our state congressmen and the stupid $1 trillion funding for infrastructure and stuff. That's where the money came from. Because they routed it through NOAACA, NOAACA claimed credit for and responsibility for making that possible. They did nothing. And so they lied through their teeth about their involvement. And then they give us a pittance. So Geauga County gets a couple $100,000 to do a road, or even let's say that hypothetically it was $1 million to do a road. And we could have a grovel at their feet because they gave us $1 million of our own money back. We pay $10 million a year. Geauga County citizens pay $10 million a year, federal gas tax, into the system. And we have to beg and plead and grovel when they give us $1 million back. That's disgusting.
We're coming up to the break, Commissioner. Would you tell the folks what they need to do? They need to. In fact, I just was asked here just a couple hours ago, when is the next commissioner's meeting in Geauga County? I believe it's on Tuesdays, aren't they?
Every Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, okay.
And by the way, and I've said this for how long, Pastor? You've known this. I mean, I've been pounding this drum for quite a while. We can leave NWACA. We don't need to stay in NWACA. We can form our own NPO. And we will do better financially if we did. And if you're from Lake County, get with your Lake County commissioners, because Lake and Geauga County could create our own NPO. We could manage it and control it, determine where the dollars go between Lake and Geauga County, then take Cleveland and Cuyahoga County completely out of the equation. No longer will our world be ruled by equity, which is a Marxist concept for sharing, you know, redistributing wealth, basically. So get a hold of your county commissioners and say it is time for a change. You can, if you don't change, we will make a change. You won't be there in a few years.
Well, yeah, one of the things they said, their goal is transportation and regional equity, as with the World Economic Council and their measurements. In other words, so they're hooked up with the World Economic Council, which those people are, they're Satanists. I mean, they are absolutely hardcore Satanists there. The vast majority of people are clueless to that. In fact, we actually have a clip that we could actually play on that to show you how much they are. Do you have those clips loaded up? Well, I was going to do the one where they make where they turn us in to batteries, you know. We'll pass on it. We'll play it. The World Economic Council, their goal is to make all of us, and I know this sounds absolutely crazy, but through the so-called vax, the bioweapon shots, they've determined that they can use us as batteries to actually produce energy, believe it or not. So, I want to thank you, Skip, for giving that information. And, folks, you heard what he had to say. God bless and thanks, Skip. I got to go to a break.
All right, I'm going to let you go, Pastor.
All righty. Let's go to the break. Get to that break right now. Don't have to get there. No, right now.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.